Shall we turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 1? We read from verse 6 to 14. We'll finish the chapter today, God willing. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 14. It says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled your name? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept your favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow by sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." Last week, we went through verse 6 of chapter 1. We saw God talking about hypocrisy of the people. How there were people who were honoring God with their lips, but their heart was not honoring God. People who were saying that God is our Father, God is our Master, but in their behavior they were not honoring God by obeying Him. We went through what God meant there, that God wants the heart which worships, commitment of the heart. We came to a conclusion that what the heart did not do is not done. What the heart did not do is not done. Everything begins with the heart. And we see today, as we come to the second part of verse 6, says it says that this rebuke is directed to the priests who despise God's name. And you see that the priests are caught back. They are caught by surprise. They're asking God, in which way have we despised your name? So they didn't connect it. They don't understand it. These are the people who are not connected. They think that what they've been doing was what God had required of them. They think everything was fine, but they were burdened by the God. Today, we'll talk about the message, the quiet message that hurts God. The quiet message which we send to God when we act in many ways. Because as we know today, we always talk about better way of communicating with people. If you go to schools, if you go to work, if you work to different companies, we are told on how to have good communication skills. We especially told how husbands are going to communicate with their wives, how parents are communicate with their children, how colleagues have to communicate, how church members are to communicate with one another, how church leaders are to communicate with one another time after time. And we always use words to communicate. And normally we use our words when we communicate with people. And we express our feelings with words in order for us to express what we think. We say some words to it, to say what is in our mind, how we feel, or what we want. We always use words. We normally use that definition to communicate. But the fact is that we don't need words to express what we need. We don't need words to communicate. You can communicate by your action. You can communicate by your silence. You can communicate by your facial expression or by the tone on your voice. You can send a message to people. But in many cases, you don't even need words or a tone in your voice, or even you don't have to say anything for you to pass a message to people. As a way of introduction, I would love us to listen to a story which I'm going to tell you so that we can put everything in perspective. Just imagine two couples go for dinner to a restaurant. Two couples go to a restaurant for dinner. The husband of one wife there talks during dinner, talks always about his wife. He talks about her character, the treasures she has in her. He talks about how intelligent she is. He talks about how thoughtful she is, how intelligent, how clever, how hospitable she is. He talks about how tender, how merciful she is. And he goes on throughout the dinner, talks always about how good his wife is. And the other husband who's there, he doesn't say anything about his wife. He doesn't say anything positive about his wife. He doesn't say anything negative either. He's just quiet. He doesn't say anything. And then this other husband is continuing pouring all the compliments on his wife or about his wife. And this other husband is only quiet. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't disagree. He doesn't agree. He doesn't say anything bad or good about his wife. And then they eat, they are done. They're going out of the restaurant. The two couples separate. And then the husband wouldn't say something to his wife. Notice that his wife is quiet. And then he turns to her and asks her, "Honey, is something wrong? Did food make you sick? Or is something wrong with you? Or what has happened?" And she doesn't answer. And then they go and he asks her, "What's wrong?" And she doesn't say anything. And then after a time, she turns to him and says that, "You don't love me. You don't love me. You have nothing to say about me. You don't love me." And then the husband said, "What on earth makes you to say that I don't love you? Where did you get this idea that I don't care, I don't love you?" And then she said, "You don't love you. And you don't love me." And then he goes, "I love you." And then she goes, "You don't." And then they start arguing who loves who. And then at the end, she tells him that, if you loved me, why didn't you say anything when this man was praising his wife about me? Your silence sent a message to this other couple, or to me, that you have nothing to say about me. You have nothing positive about me, and you were embarrassed. You couldn't even say anything good compared to that wife who was being praised, because you saw that if you would say anything, I was going to end up as a second class. She was tip-top. You were embarrassed. And that message you sent there by your silence, not only to me, you sent it also to the other couple, that I am not a good wife. You don't love me. And then this husband is like, no, oh, you know what? I didn't think it that way. I didn't take it that way. He apologizes and then starts giving her all the credits. But it's a little bit too late, because this other couple have already received the message that this man doesn't love his wife. He doesn't care about his wife. There's nothing good or positive he can say about his wife. That what happens when we keep quiet, when we don't say anything, we can communicate a message even in our silence. We can say the whole story just by being quiet. We can say a story just by being not saying anything, just by sitting there not saying anything, and other people understand exactly what you mean by you being quiet, not saying anything. This is the husband and the wife. The same thing happens also to God. We send a message to God by our actions, either by our quietness, by our silence, or the actions we do. It could be that we think that we have not said, God, I don't love you. God, I hate you. God, I have nothing to do with you. But the way we do things, the way we act and react, sends a message to God about what we think of him. As this couple at dinner table sent a message to everyone there that he didn't care, he didn't have anything to say, good or bad, about his wife. There's nothing he could come up with to his wife. This is what is happening here in the book of Malachi. The people thought that just by doing what they were doing, giving offerings, just by just being casual to God, that was enough. God was going to be satisfied with it. They thought by them doing the action, going to the temple, and by them having an animal for sacrifice, that was enough. When God makes a charge against them, they are surprised. They are caught back. They don't understand what God is meaning. They may be saying in their own hearts that, God, we never say that we don't love you. We tell everybody around us that we love you. We sing songs. We come to temple all the time. We love you. But God is telling them that by your silence, by your actions, you are sending a message to me. God doesn't say that by you saying. He says here, he gives us the full details of what they are doing wrong with their actions. Verse 7 says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? They were giving polluted food. They were giving an offering which was not offering. They thought that they could reduce the offering of God to what was suitable to them, and God was going to accept it. They thought that their standard was God's standard. As we see here, they are offering defiled food, and they don't even see that it was wrong anymore. He goes by saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? These are the people who knew the law of sacrifice. God has said them that they had to give an animal which is spotless, which doesn't have any wrinkles or any blemishes, a perfect animal for sacrifice. But they were doing the opposite. They were giving the blind animal. They were giving the lame and the sick. God is asking them, God is making them to think, is it not evil? Is it not evil? Is it right? Don't you remember the laws I gave you when I told you about giving sacrifices? What should be offered before me in the temple? They thought, because they didn't say anything verbally, they were on good side with God. But our silence speaks a message sometimes. Speaks a message sometimes. It's like a father who's a hardworking father. He goes to work all the time. He goes to work and then he comes home. He thinks that by him offering, giving food to his family, for him providing to his family, the family is good. Even though he doesn't spend any time, he doesn't engage in activities of the families. He doesn't say anything. He just stay quiet. He's almost like an absent person. In his mind, he thinks that everything is fine. But he might be surprised when his children say that, "Dad, you don't love us. Because you do only what is good in your own eyes. You think money is important. You think that you never spend time with us. When you are here, you think that money is what we need. But we need your presence. You are sending a message to us that you don't love us." And the dad is surprised. People of Israel, they had taken religion of God into religion of doing. The quality or the standard of God was not important anymore. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. And as we see here, God is bringing it down. Second part of verse 4, he asks them, "Offer it then to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" He's asking them, if you will take those lame, sick, those animals which are blind for sacrifice, which you give for sacrifice, if you will give them as a tax to a governor, will he accept it? So people had shown that they had fear for the governor than for God. God's business had become secondary. They thought they could fool God. They thought God was desperate with the animals. They didn't care about the quality or the standard of the worship of God. This happens today. This happens today in church. We bring our standards in the worship of God. We bring what is good in our own eyes in presence of God. People out there in churches think that God is desperate. Whatever we give, whatever we do, he must take. God have no choice. God must be grateful when I even give him. When if I even go to church, he must be satisfied with that. When I give my offering, or when I say that I'm a Christian, God should be satisfied with that. But we see here, God is rebuking people of Israel because they were giving an offering. They were giving a service which was not a service. An offering which was not an offering, which was the outcast. They thought they were doing it to please God, but they were not. Verse 9, he says here that, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. God is calling them to repentance. That beg God, beseech God, cry for mercy to God. You know that you've been doing wrong. You know that you've been giving the lame and the sick animals. Your offering was never accepted before God. Now you have a choice to repent to God. Repent. He says, while this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. As long as you are continuing in this way you are doing, as long as you are giving a service or an offering, which is not an offering, a service which is not an offering or service which is not a service to God, God will not accept it. We have people, especially this time when we live in time where we talk about human rights. We talk about humanism. Everything is based on person, on people. The church is trying to change everything to please people, to fit people. God is not being considered. God is not putting first that, are we doing it for God or are we doing it for people? When we hear debates about churches, there's no difference between what is being discussed in the parliament and in church council. We see everything is becoming about man, how to please man, how to please man, how to please man. No one thinks about how to please God. This is what was happening here. With the action, they were sending a message to God. With the silence, they were giving message to God that, God, we value less. God, you deserve less. You deserve our leftovers. You deserve our scraps. If I have the last money which is left in my pocket, the worthless money which is left in my pocket, then I give it to you. You know what, God? Those animals, those lame and sick and blind animals, we will get rid of them anyway. But instead of getting rid of them, let us give them to you. You deserve less. You deserve less. You deserve less of our time. You deserve less of our offering. You deserve less of everything. We give you, God, only what we don't want. Those animals, we don't want them. You take them. Those small coins, you take them. That time which I don't need, maybe when I'm bored, and then you take it, Lord. God is telling them that he wants the best. He wants people to repent, to turn, to do according to God's standard. He goes, in verse 10 here, he says, who is there even among you who should shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? This is the part I love most. God is asking, if there is there among the people of Israel anyone with courage, anyone of character, anyone of common sense, anyone who uses the fear of God, anyone who can put sense in the minds of the priests, anyone who can say that this is not the worship of Yahweh, this is not worship of God, this is tradition, we are robbing God, we are making the name of God to be vain. Let us go back, let us rewind the tape, let us go back and see what God has told us. Somebody who can say, this is what the Lord God says. This is what he demands of us. This is somebody who can say that the Bible says, and open it and listen and read it to people. Somebody who could say that, I don't mind your animals. I don't mind the fire. I am interested in God. What God appreciates. What God wants from us. Men or women of character. men of integrity, men who can say that this is the work of God, we should do it with fear, we should do it with trembling, we should do it according to God's standard. Sacrifice without fire, or as they were giving, they thought they were giving offering to God, which was not offering. As they thought they were giving sacrifice to God, which God didn't see as sacrifice. This comes even in our own lives, in our own church cultures. One of these, maybe last year, I was watching, somebody has posted on Facebook, this No Se Swami, this charismatic meetings, which has been held in Finland. There was a short clip of Patrick Tianen. He was there prophesying, I'm using the word so loosely. He was there as a wild dog. He was talking like a parrot, or I don't know how he was talking. He was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, prophesying on young children. And he was there, like anyone who could use the common sense, anyone who would see that was saying that this has nothing to do with God. He was going there, and I looked on the audience. There were older men. You could see that they're older pastors, 60, 70s, 80, older people, even young people. You could see that one could be a policeman, that one could be an engineer, that one could be a dad, that one could be a teacher. I'm using the people who use common sense, people who can use common sense. But they were there in that meeting, and that boy was going mad and doing what he was doing. And no one said anything. I asked to myself, is there no one there who has common sense? Is there no one there who can say, stop, this is of the devil? This has nothing to do with God. There's no one there who can say, stop, what you are doing is wrong. God is asking among the people if there is a person of character, a man or a woman, young or old, who can say that we are thinking that we are giving offering to God while we are not doing anything. We are wasting our time. God said our offering, our animal, should be spotless, should be blameless, blemishless, and they will be wrinkleless. But we are giving the lame, we are giving the sick, we are giving the blind to God. We are giving things we don't need, things we want to get rid of. God doesn't have the right place in our lives. Let us turn back to God. Let us revise this thing. Let us see what the Bible says. People of character. It's 500 years now. Everyone is talking about Reformation. We celebrate Reformation. What are we celebrating today? We celebrate men who stood for truth. Men who went against the norm of the day. Men who went against the tradition. Men who stood, who put God first, say that we do it the way of God. They risked their lives. Men of character and women of character. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. This is severe. This must bring us to a place where we ask ourselves, whatever I do, what service I do to God, and whatever service I think I'm doing to God, do I send double message? Is it just message of who God is, or is it my silence sends a message to God, a different message to God? By them going in an offering, they were sending another message, but the content of the message of what they were offering was rotten, was was nothing. God said that, shut that thing. There's nothing. Don't even do it. I won't accept it. We see it in churches today. We see people who are thinking that they are building churches. But they are building churches in man's perspective, in man's understanding, which is attractive to men. And then you look at where is God in that? Where is Jesus Christ in this? Why? What is the purpose of this? If Christ will come today, will that church stand? Will there be any believers in that church? People are preoccupied with themselves, with their duties, forgetting to whom they are offering that duty. That's as these people were doing. He goes on to say, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God is telling them that I want the best. I want the best. I don't want the worst. I don't want the leftovers. I don't want the thing. I am great king. I am big. I am big, and I want the pure worship. I want the pure sacrifice. I want the best of your time. I want the best of your service. I want the best you have, because I am king. God makes himself how big he is. Many times we have reduced God to our own level. We don't see God as God anymore. We don't see God as the one to be feared, the one to be honored. We don't see God, as the Bible says, the Lord of hosts. Great God, Almighty God. We don't see God the creator. We don't see God as sovereign. We think God is hopeful. He's expecting. God has no choice. We have to give whatever we want to give. It might be with time. It might be with worship. We think anything will go. Anything will go. God has no choice. And most of these things are not said verbally. No one uses the words. It's in acts. It's like we send the message to God, which hurts him. Many times we think that God is uncaring. God doesn't care. God can't be hurt. God can't be moved. God has no feelings. While the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, it says that Jesus wept. The Bible tells us that that every time Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he was frustrated. He has feelings. He has feelings. We think whatever we give to God, he will accept. And most of the time we think we can give him what we don't need, what we don't want. And he has no choice than to take it. He goes on in verse 12. He says, but you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick, that you bring an offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? You see here, God is giving a clear message about what offering, what service we are to render to him. God has given us his standard. If we read the Bible, God tells us the duties we are to, how he has to be treated. People profane the name of God in their behavior. Yeah, I love God, I love God, I serve God, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But you behave in a way which offends God. Or as many people think that I'm not going to say anything. They keep quiet. They keep silent, thinking that God is satisfied with that. But we're forgetting that their silence gives a message to God that they have nothing good to say about God. They have no relationship with God. He is nothing to them. It's like you having a problem with your colleague or your husband or your wife. You just decide to keep quiet. You think that that's fine. Or you think that to avoid trouble, let me just be quiet, as many people do. See, people just keep quiet, they don't say anything. They think we have peace by me keeping quiet. We have peace. As long as I don't say anything, we have peace. Forgetting that the silence gives a message to the next one. You're giving a message by being quiet. And there's also a danger here that that message can be whatever. People can interpret it whatever. We communicate in different ways. And one of the ways we communicate in our silence. We communicate in our silence. We communicate without saying a word, just by our actions toward God. God sees the heart that these people didn't like him, didn't honor him as king. They didn't give him the reverence he was due. They were just doing it for the sake of doing it. They were robbing. They thought God was like them. 14, it says, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. It was even worse that their people who had made a vow to God that they were going to give him the best they had. They were going to give him the best of the bulls, the best of the produce. But when it was time for them to give, what they did was they took the lamb and they didn't give God the best. They were sending the message to God that you are nothing. You don't deserve anything. I give you what I give you. And if I want to give you, I give it to you. If I don't want, I don't give it to you. Do what you please. Basically, this is what they were saying. In South Africa, I was told by a friend that there is a new trend now in South Africa. The pastors have services which they call washing service. Washing service. What they do is they think that they can take off the demons or bad spirit in money. People will go and steal money or rob the bank or do any frauds, like drug dealers. Drug lords will go and sell drugs. And they know that that money is bad. The police can arrest them, or if they know that they have that money, they will bring those money in church. There is a washer service. There will be washing service. People will come there with different sacks of money or different kind of problem they put there. And the pastor will pray over those things to take off the spirit. The money is washed. There's no more sins. There's no more trouble. It's made clear. A clean money. And then the people will give the tithes, they'll give the offerings to the church. The man is washed. And that is the ongoing situation time after time. There are those services being held, and people are coming to it, and people are giving money to it, and pastors are taking money from it, thinking that they're doing the service to God. That's not different to what is happening here at the time of Malachi. People were giving the lame, the sick, even the Bible says here, the stolen, in verse 13. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Let me go to my neighbor and steal his cow, then I can give it as an offering to God. God has no choice. God will take it. Let me go to my neighbor and steal his lamb, and I can give it to God. God has no choice. That's how wicked people were. That's how indifferent people were towards God. Oh, you make a vow that God help me, God bless me, God help me to get a job. When I get the job, I will do this. I will give my offering. I will give my tithe. I will do this to the church. And then you get the salary, you forget about the vow. You forget about the vow you made. I've actually lived this. There was a businessman who was going through tough time. And he came to a church. He begged the church to pray for him. Things are going really bad in my business. People fasted, you know, revival churches. People fasted for the man and prayed. And God heard the prayers. And the guy has made a vow that this church was building. They were in the phase of building the building. And he said that if I'm blessed, if I have money, I will finish your project. I will finish your project. I know that you have a problem with money, but once everything goes well, I will finish the project. They prayed. He got blessed. He got money. And he disappeared. And he made it clear to everybody that he was going to do it. Everyone knew. People prayed. People fasted. And he took the money. He went away. He forgot his vow. And what happened was, after some months, it went even worse than it was. He fooled God's people. He fooled people. It went even worse. He lost the money, and he lost even the least he had. God is to be honored. God is to be feared. God is to be respected. God is to be served with our best. We have to give God with our best. In our services, God has put a standard. God has put the duties of a husband and a wife. God has put a duty of father and son, children with children. God has put everything in order. It's not our duty to transform, to change things, thinking that God will be pleased with us. When we meet together as believers, Scripture tells us how we are to believe and to behave, how we are to do things according to Scriptures. If we change, if we modify to please people, if we do what is good in the eyes of people, we are not doing a service to God. We are being rejected by God. There is a lesson here. In every service we give, there's even more lesson by we opting that we will be the neutral. I am neutral. I don't say anything. It shows that you don't care about God. It shows that you have nothing to say. You can't. God is not important to you. There's nothing you can say because you are neutral. God wants people of character, people who can stand, people who can shut the door so that the people don't even go and offer to that altar their sacrifice, which is not sacrifice, offering, which is not offering, service which is not offering. People who can say, no, it's enough is enough. We are either Church of God or we are Social Democrats. We are Church of God or we are in a band for ending. People who are thinking of the service of God. Many times we send quiet messages to each other and to God. Let me ask you, what message did you send to God when you refused to pray? There must be a message when you refuse to pray. What message did you send to God? God, I have nothing to talk to you. God, I don't want to talk to you. And God, I don't need to worship you. I don't need to talk to you. That's the message you send to God by refusing to pray. What message did you send to God when you refuse to repent? You haven't done it. You think you're fine. But you're sending a message to God. God, we are disagreeing. I've not done anything wrong. You are accusing me falsely. God, you have no right to tell me that I am wrong. I am right. Leave me alone. What about when we refuse to worship God? There's a message we send to God in our silence. God, I don't want to communicate with you. I don't want to be with you. I don't want your company. Why should I come and worship you? I don't want your company. What about a message you send to God when you don't want to meet with these people? It's Sunday. It's Tuesday. It's week meeting and a week day when God people meet. You decide to stay at home. What message do you send to God? God, I don't care about Hebrews, which says that we should not neglect meeting up together. I don't mind. I don't need anything with those people. I have nothing to do with the people. First of all, the pastor has nothing to tell to me. Secondly, I have nothing to do with God's people. I don't mind. I'm good on myself. And all those things are not that we say them verbally. It's the message we send, we speak by our silence. And these people, by them giving lamb offering, by them giving the sick animal, by them giving the blind animals to God, what were they meaning? What were they communicating to God? You are nothing. You are nothing. You have no right in my life. And that's not good. We see here, God is not a passive God. God is not desperate God. He said, I have no pleasure in you. I have no pleasure in you. This is the strongest thing God can say. I have no pleasure in you. Stay with it. Sit with it. Keep it for yourself. Don't give me offering which is not offering. Don't give me a service which is not service. Don't pretend. I want the best. I want the best. This is a lesson for you and I to learn in when we do the service to God. When we commit ourselves to serve God, we give all our best. We give it all. We are people who are committed. We are people who know what God has done for us. We know that He is our King. He is our Lord. He deserves the best. We give. And we have to have it clear in our mind that anything less than that, it is rejected. It's rejected. We are saved by God unto good works.
He has commanded us to meet with one another, with believers. He has commanded us to offer our money for the work of God. He has commanded us to sacrifice for one another. We have commanded to love one another. He has commanded us to obey, to be submissive, to love. He has commanded us to meet with one another. He has commanded us a lot of things which we have to do. It's either we do it or we don't do it. There's no gray zone there. And when we do it committed to God. Remember, we're doing all these things to God. We do it to God. The priests were dumb. The priests were the one leading people astray. They didn't tell people. They didn't push people away. Go away. We don't want this. They were taking it. They were giving false offering. And God didn't accept it. Examine yourself. Maybe you're praying and your prayers are not being answered. You pray to God and you are not being answered because you are a burden to God. You don't give Him what He deserves. You don't give Him what He deserves. As He said, that will, do you expect God to answer favorably to you? You was not committed to the service of God. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about our service to God. It goes both ways. Show the character. Show the character that Christ has died for you. Do it for God's sake. Do it in a way which honors God. Otherwise, you are not doing yourself a favor. You are giving a service which is rejected by God. You are giving an offering which is rejected by God. That's not a good position to be. What message do you send to God in your silence? Is God being heard by your silent message? Is God being heard by your offensive actions? Is your service accepted to God? Is it the best you give to God? What place has God in your life? That's the question I want to leave with. Remember, every service you do it to God. It's to whom you will stand in the last day to give an account. It's to God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for clarity of your word as we see here, Lord God, that there is no gray zone. You are not God who is passive. You are as active as ever. Father, you accept and you reject what you think is not worship or offering, even service. Father, we see it here that we have to be on your side. We have no choice than to follow you, your commandment, and your standard. Help us, Lord God, to examine our actions, our silence. Help us, Lord God, to examine our duties, that we will be people who are committed to give you what is best. We are people who are committed to offer you what is best and what is good, because you are our God, because you are our King, that you will take the best place in our lives, in everything we do. Help us, Lord, to have to be humble. Help us, Lord God, to put you first. Before ourselves, before our pen, before our feelings. You, God, you will reign. You will be the one dictating our life. Father, we pray that you will continue to change us and transform us. That when we come before you, Lord, with our offering, which is our own service, which is our own life, you will accept it. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.